My very first guest on my very first podcast is Bronwyn Murphy. Bronwyn's a long-standing friend of mine and owns her own business, www.bjnnconsulting.com.au.
Colleague as well. We started as colleagues.
We did start as colleagues way back at Smalls Recruiting. So
I think you'll find it was Randstad/Select.
Oh, yes, it was. It was. It was that long ago. Anyway, the reason that I want to interview Bronwyn is that Bronwyn spends a lot of her time consulting to recruitment companies. And I'm going to get Bronwyn to tell us about what she does in a second. But I get a lot of complaints about recruitment consultants. It's a very easy post to write to get reactions from people if you say, don't we all hate recruitment consultants? So I want to talk to Bronwyn about getting some insights into the industry and how people can actually better manage their relationship. So Bronwyn, give us your elevator spiel. Give us your 30-second spiel and rundown on what you do.
I work with recruitment companies and other businesses that need recruitment functions to set up and implement and design and implement systems in order to do that smoothly and efficiently, pardon me, and to bring people on board and do engagement and retention.
Great. So you've worked with a lot of different sizes of recruitment companies, large and small?
I have. I've worked with the largest recruitment company in the world through to two-man bands and single owners.
Uh-huh. So consultants get a lot of criticism. Why is that? Just generally, what happens? Why do people not like recruitment consultants?
There's a couple of reasons, and if you don't mind, what I'll do is I'll bring the word back a little bit to recruitment consultants, and I think that's part of where the issue stands. That's an overarching word that everybody uses about themselves when they work within recruitment and have client and candidate interfacing, so the client being the company who's got the job, the candidate being the person who's seeking work. And they all call themselves recruitment consultants, and they're not. Mm-hmm. What they are is they range from being contract managers, particularly in IT kind of agencies, through to people who do negotiate and do place roles and negotiate with the company about what they need and have that true consultancy. So that's where a lot of the time there's a misperception of what you expect. When you hear the word consultant, you're expecting a certain level of professionalism and consultativeness.
Okay.
And, sorry.
No, that's fine. Because you once wrote a post on my blog about the difference between being a recruiter and being a consultant. That's what you're talking about now?
Yeah, there is, but there's even a difference between being a consultant, a recruiter, and a contracts manager.
So, okay.
So there's a couple of different ways of looking at work, especially in the market at the moment. You've got temporary work, which is also known as on hire. You've got contract, which is where you have maybe a three-month contract. It's generally the more professional, semi-professional works, and particularly within IT. You've got fixed-term contracts, which is generally a 12-month period, and what happens is you get sick pay and you get holiday pay and such, but you know that you're going to only be within that company for about 12 months, and then you've got permanent work. So depending on what you're looking for as well will change your relationship with, for all intents and purposes, we continue to call them the recruitment consultant. So, yeah.
So if I'm looking at a job advertisement, so putting myself in the place of a job seeker or a candidate, if I'm looking at a job advertisement, I would actually have no idea who I'm in the hands of in that sort of scenario. That's where some of the confusion comes in?
Correct, yes. So you don't know. And quite often, because of interpoaching within the recruitment industry, you don't even get a name, which I find annoying and really impersonal. And when you're seeking work, as your listeners will well know, it's an emotional time, it's a stressful time, it's an incredibly busy time. You almost have a full-time job looking for a job.
Yep.
So when you bring those factors into it and you're reading an ad and it just says, send now, quoting some number, it's just awful for people, I think, because they feel depersonalised.
Sure.
Yeah.
So one of the things I find really interesting and one of the complaints that people make is that all of these advertisements, well, not all, I am exaggerating, but a lot of these advertisements have a contact name and contact number, yet when people call, they can't get through or they can never get a hold of the consultant.
Okay.
So how do you suggest people approach that situation? Do you suggest that they keep trying or do you suggest that they send their resume through regardless?
There's two things that you must look at before you decide whether to keep calling or whether just to send your resume. In all circumstances, send your resume, because what will happen 99% of the time, that resume will go into a database, and when they're seeking other work, they will generally go straight into their database to see who they've got there before they advertise.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they'd then pull you out and you're perfect for the role and then still not going to advertise. But that's what, so always have your resume there because you're one step up. The next thing is to ensure that you do actually match that job criteria. On the other side of the Great Divide, where the recruitment consultant is actually working, they are extremely busy. They're generally dealing with 10 or 12 roles at one time. They've been instructed by their client to seek a person with a certain skill set and a certain experience. And that's what the consultant has to bring back to the client. Most clients will do, especially now with an awful lot of clients already having their own databases and their own recruitment, internal recruitment functions. Once they actually go to a recruiter, they've gone through all of that process and they want a very specific skill set and experience type. So you're not going to get anywhere just by ringing unless you actually have what they're looking for.
It's very interesting, isn't it? I think that the dynamics of the market, you're right, the dynamics of the market has changed, and a lot of companies are set up themselves internally to do a lot of their own recruiting. So if you're going to pay, and you can correct me on this, but a minimum of 10% up to 25-30% of somebody's salary, you're going to be wanting to speak to somebody that is pretty much exact, pretty close to the criteria that you've actually specified. And the consultant is selling their expertise to find that person as well. So they've raised the client's expectations. Would you agree with that?
I agree with you 100%. And this is where the misinterpretation of consultant comes in. A true recruitment consultant will consult to the client about the skill sets that are generally available in the marketplace. They will consult about the actual job and question the client on why they've given them this whole list of skill sets that they want, when really you know that having four complete matches of skill sets will suffice.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're not dealing with true consultants a lot of the time. We're dealing with recruiters or contract managers,
mm-hmm.
and they won't have done that. So they will only go back to their client if they've got exactly what they need, because they won't have done that consulting in the first place.
I should have probed a bit further on this. A contract manager, you're talking about somebody that might be managing recruitment solely for one of the large corporations, and that's their brief. Is that what you mean by contract manager?
Well, that's involved in it, but not only that. I think you can have, and this is just the way I, in my own head, class them and what I've named them. And it's generally somebody who, they're probably dealing mostly in contract work or temporary work. Mm-hmm. So they may have met the candidate once.
Okay.
Or they may have only done a telephone conversation, and they're dealing with jobs that are black and white skill sets.
Yep.
So often that's within IT, or it's, are you a are you a forklift driver, or, you know, do you know a certain pick and pack system? Yeah, so it's a black and white. If you've got that, you can go, and it's no matter about you fitting into the culture, because you're only there for 3 months or so.
Okay. So a lot of my clients say that the conversation that they'll have if they get to speak to a recruitment consultant, say they've either sent their resume or they're ringing, following up on an advertisement, is that the, for example, the consultant will say, do you have local experience? And then they say, no, I don't have local experience, and that's the end of the conversation. Or they might say, do you have 5 years experience doing blah, blah, blah? And then the person says, no, I don't have that, and that's the end of the conversation. Should that be the end of the conversation? Is there any negotiation that somebody can do from that point?
I'd probably say not, because they've the consultant themselves has boxed themselves in to coming up with exactly what the client has said. There's been no negotiation at the start of taking the job brief. Or if there has been, there's been no movement on the client's behalf. And what's happening is the consultant's bringing in an awful lot of previous experience that the client has had, with maybe someone saying, do you have local experience? So maybe the referees, they couldn't qualify the referees, then they turned out to be false or spurious or the like. So they're not starting with a clean plate every time. They're bringing their old baggage in, sorry to mix all the metaphors. And so the consultant hasn't consulted properly on that, or if they had, the client hasn't moved. So when you get to that, you know that that's a deal breaker, okay? Yep. But it doesn't mean that you can't start some sort of relationship with that consultant, whether that be a fulfilling one and whether that be a very personable one is another thing. You've spoken to them. So from that conversation, before you get off the phone, it would be, okay, so if I'm not right for this role, what else do you normally have that comes over your desk? Where do you normally recruit? Who do you consult to, so that we can talk about what's coming up beyond this role?
Yeah, that's great. I tend to say to people, it's a no for that. It's not a no for everything. And every conversation that you have on your job hunt, you should be gathering a little bit of information. So, for example, the big one that a lot of my clients get is, as I said, no local experience. It's specifically, what is it that I would need to gain? What are you looking for when you say local experience? What does that mean? And then at least you get perhaps a nugget of information, if you're in the hands of a semi-professional consultant, about the qualification that you might actually need to go and get, or a real sense of what the objection is, because sometimes what people say to give you as a reason for rejection is the undeniable rather than the truth.
Beautifully put.
Thank you. I like that line. I might use it. So, yeah. Okay. So what makes a consultant actually pick up the phone? They get a resume. What makes them actually pick up the phone and call that person? And one of the questions that I have from people is around, what are they looking for in that telephone interview? It's all on my resume.
Yes, okay. So they'll pick up the phone immediately if you've got the essential criteria that they're looking for. Okay, so you've got the right degree, you've got the right experience, or you've worked with possibly a company that's in direct competition with the business that they're recruiting for. That's always good, because you're in that same industry. So if you've got the same industry experience and the right qualifications and the right amount of experience, they're going to pick the phone up. Mm-hmm. So what are they looking for? Immediately they're looking to assess your communication skills. Okay? So can you communicate? Do you know what you're talking about? And are you still available? Mm-hmm. Because as a job hunter, you don't, if you can possibly avoid it, apply for one job.
Yep.
You will send out a myriad of resumes, and by that, don't send out scattergun, you know, actually read the ads, make sure you qualify for them. So they'll be looking for communication. Are you still available? They'll be seeking to understand why you want to move into this role, what attracted you about the role. So they're starting to build up a profile about what kind of things you like and what kind of things you don't like, and starting to say in their own heads, okay, what's their motivation to move? What's their attitude? What's their aptitude? Will they therefore fit into this company that I'm recruiting for?
So a lot of it is the grey areas in terms of the communication as well, as in, are you answering the questions readily? Do you understand the question that was asked? Are you listening to me? Are you building some rapport with me? And that type of thing.
Exactly. Now, one of the things that really annoys me that happens with recruitment consultants, and when I'm trying to train them up, I say to them, do not get on the phone to people and say, I've got your resume here, I just want to have a quick chat, because they're making all of these assumptions in the space of 2 minutes. And if someone rings me and says, can you have a quick chat? I might be in the supermarket,
yes,
or doing a number of other things, and say, yeah, sure, because I'm not being told how important this first contact is. So it's okay for you to say, I can't right now, can I call you back in 5 minutes?
Yes.
And you can therefore, as the job seeker, you can take a breath, you can fit in your head and say, oh, now which role was that?
Mm-hmm.
And be prepared for it. So my recommendation would be that the consultant actually ring and say, I want to conduct a telephone interview with you.
Yes.
So you know it's me. But if they don't do that, you take charge and you say, remind me which role it is. Yes, I understand. Can I call you back in 5 minutes when I'm in a place that's not as noisy, or
yes,
whatever the case may be?
I think a lot of people think that they have no power in that situation as well. They're a bit intimidated to do it. And I remember helping a graduate who said, I have to take the call when they call, because quite often there's so many people applying that they'll just, if it's too difficult to speak to me, they'll just go on to the next person. But I suppose you do need to balance that with how I would encourage people to do exactly what you're saying, because you can't talk in a noisy supermarket. And I think I was probably one of those consultants that said, can I have a quick chat, trying to put people at their ease but not realising the implications of what I was saying. So, you're saying basically get yourself centred, ask if you can call them back, refresh yourself in your own mind about what the role is about, and be prepared to talk about it. And I guess, without putting words in your mouth, you're also saying that that's why you shouldn't have the scattergun approach to applying for a job.
Oh, nothing annoys a consultant more when you ring up and say, I've got your resume for this role at ABC Company.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, really? Sorry, who are you? What? And have this absolute gormless response where you don't even remember that you've sent it. So you need to be organised. Even if you carry around a piece of paper every time, or a wad of paper with all the ads in your pocket, so that you're prepared each time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do need 5 minutes to just take a breath and get centred, that's fine. But make sure you call them back in 5 minutes.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Get a line, get a mobile number, get whatever you can.
Yep.
Yeah.
So would you suggest, because the interesting thing that happens is that if you're a candidate in demand, or if you're in an area that has skill shortages, you might go and register with 5 or 6 agencies, and then there's a race often with that agent to get your details in front of a particular client. Would you suggest that people maximise their chances by registering with a number of different agencies, or to limit it to 2 or 3?
Look, I think that really depends the marketplace you're in, and then therefore that will change. The current marketplace, if you're working on hire in a blue collar kind of role, or a manual role, or a skilled role in as an electrician or a forklift driver or something like that, I would say register with every agency who would have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll probably find that you'll start to build up regular work with 1 or 2 of them. If you're in a role that is more specialised, if you like, so if you're working within the financial markets and you've got a fairly specialised role with that, then maybe one or two agencies within that specialist field.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one large agency who's got a division that does that, and then two specialists. And that would be it, because they're going to have all the roles anyway. You don't want to go and interview for every role that's available. You want to go and interview for roles where the company's a good match for you, the job's a good match for you, and that really you've got some sort of chance of getting it.
Yeah. It's interesting, because you can be in the hands of somebody that's not going to represent you in the best way possible as well, if you spread yourself too thin, I would imagine. How do you tell if you're with somebody good, that you, because quite often consultants will say, who else are you registered with, and can you stay with me for the next 2 weeks and see what I can do for you, but you don't want to limit your chances with in that scenario. So how do you actually tell if you're in the hands of somebody that's going to be professional and look after your career professionally and market you professionally?
I think if they say, can I have you exclusively for 2 weeks? Any consultant who feels that they have a good enough relationship with their clients that they can therefore ring them up and say, I've got someone for you, without actually having a job brief,
mm.
somebody who is a consultant
mm.
and has relationships with the company.
Mm.
So if someone says that to you, I'd be saying, absolutely, and what are you going to do in those 2 weeks?
Yep.
What's the plan for the next 2 weeks? And just hear what they have to say. And if you like what they have to say, because and remember, you don't have to actually like the consultant, you just have to trust that they're professional.
Yeah.
So if you like what their plan is, then go for it. Give them 2 weeks exclusively.
Yeah.
Do not tell them that you will and then don't, because you will be black banned so fast from them. They will not deal with you.
Yeah.
Because you would then make them look like a bit of a goose if they go to their client and go, oh, yes, we've got them in a pile of resumes that other people have flicked us.
Yes, so. that seems to happen a lot as well. I've been doing some work with a particular recruitment agency, and quite often the conversation is that with the client, that the client's already received that resume, yet with that consultant with the candidate, hasn't actually known, and it's the first time that they've heard about it. But what about in terms of their interaction and their interview and the way that they deal with you? I mean, what's a sign that you're with somebody good?
I think that you've either hung up the phone or walked out of the interview and you feel as though there is not a lot that they don't know about you,
mm-hmm.
but you feel as though they have an understanding of what your life is about, and therefore where your job fits into your life and the kind of job that's going to make you excited mm. to go to work each day.
Mm.
And that would be it. Somebody who hasn't talked at you the whole time but has given you the opportunity to respond and get your own thoughts, feelings, experience across to them.
Yeah. What about the tricky areas? Because everybody has glitches in their careers, jobs that haven't worked out, bosses that they haven't gotten along with, that they're worried about being giving as a reference, even being dismissed from roles. I mean, how honest should you be with your consultant?
I think you need to be honest, because it's going to be found out anyway. If you have a – consultants will often go, and employers will go on a pattern. So if there's a pattern of an awful lot of dismissals, or you saying that, oh, they just didn't understand me, or they weren't right for me, if there's more of those than there are of happy experiences, then people are going to be a bit concerned about you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, over a period of a – 15-year career, have had an incident where you were in a role for 6 months or just 18 months or you left in another role under poor circumstances, but that is a true glitch,
mm-hmm.
then you need to be honest about that. You need to have proof of that, if there is something that you can have proof, or else you need to then highlight that you went from that role to another role where you stayed for a period of time and everything was hunky-dory, or the role before, everything was fine, and maybe you joined a company that just didn't suit you, and that's okay.
So should you have that conversation on the phone in that initial call when people say, what are your reasons for leaving, or is that something that is better had face-to-face?
Look, it's better to have it face-to-face. Sometimes over the telephone you don't see body language, you don't see the eyes, you can misinterpret somebody's voice, and generally as well you might feel a bit defensive about someone asking you about a role that hasn't been good anyway.
Yeah.
So you need to be very soft about why you left. It could be if there's been an issue that's been a legal issue that hasn't been your fault, or harassment or anything like that, then probably the response would be the culture of that organisation does not suit me.
Yeah.
And so I had to leave. And then you can expand on that later.
Yeah.
Somebody asks you a direct question, you need to respond to it with honesty and directness.
Mm-hmm.
But if a consultant isn't going to probe any further on the phone, then you can leave that for a face-to-face.
Yeah, you're right about that. There's so much more in that communication that's around body language and whether you appear like somebody can trust, you appear trustworthy and all sorts of things that are going on face-to-face. And then people are judging you in the context of the entire conversation rather than a quick 5 minute call on the phone, basically, I think.
And it works the other way as well, whereby you can look at the person who's interviewing you and you can see whether they've understood what you've said. And if they haven't, then you can clarify that further.
Yes, good point. So what are some of the things that, if we put the hat on the other head, so to speak, I don't know if that's a cliche or whatever, but what do candidates do that actually annoy recruitment consultants? What do they find frustrating?
Gaps in resumes that aren't explained.
Yes.
Somebody who exaggerates their experience and their qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who has just sent out a load of resumes to a load of people without considering the role they're actually applying for. People who are with multi-agencies and haven't let them know.
Yep.
People who say they really, 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 really want it and then they don't.
The old good faith, yes.
It's
very interesting. It is kind of two ways as well. So if somebody wants to really stand out as an applicant, what would you suggest that they do?
Have the exact skills required.
Okay. But do you think people understand themselves when they represent themselves in interview?
Okay, so you're talking actually at interview? To stand out at interview, you can turn up on time, you can be dressed appropriately. There's a couple of very easy, quick things.
We're looking for the grey areas here, Bronwyn, because I think most people who are serious about a job do that, unless they've been far on the way through.
Fair enough, and you would hope so too.
Yeah.
Listen and clarify.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than, especially if you've got a recruiter who's not as brilliant at bringing out somebody's personality and getting to the essence of what they need to. And that's their job, but a lot of them don't do that properly. So I apologise to all the job hunters out there
mm-hmm.
who have come across such people. So as you're sitting in that chair, listen to what's being asked. Keep it appropriate for the fact that you're job hunting. And it doesn't have to be for that specific role. It can be a little bit more general.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. Know what's on your resume.
Yes.
Because sometimes people can forget about what else there is. And maybe actually ask some people around them, you know, what are my good points? What are my strengths? How would you describe me? So that when you're in there with the recruiter, you've got an idea of what you actually bring to a role.
Yeah. I'm constantly surprised about how difficult it is, or how people don't really understand themselves, and they don't really, I mean, we don't really take time to reflect on our strengths and weaknesses unless it's a crisis point. And we don't really, when we do things well, we don't stop and analyse what we do to make us do those things well, if that makes sense. So, and I think one of the things that I say to people is that process of job hunting starts when you sit down and you look at an advertisement or start to prepare your resume. That's where your reflection should start, and that's why having a good resume is very important to people, not just a sort of laundry list of what your strengths are, but if you say you're a good communicator, what's your evidence of that, and what are some of those things that make you your communication style unique? And I think that that preparation and resume is quite important as well.
Look, I think that you've got a really good point. So, and I don't think a lot of people are that conscious about their resume. So what was the situation? What did you do in that situation? What was the outcome? What was the need? Absolutely. And I just thought of something as well. People list referees on their resume.
Mm.
One of the best people to get an understanding of you is to actually ring up your referee and say, look, I'm job hunting, as you know, because I've asked you to be a referee. Can I just ask you, what are my strengths and weaknesses as an employee?
Yeah. And that's an interesting way to answer the question when you're asked that as well, is I spoke to my referee and this is what they said about me.
Hmm.
Yeah, great. Okay. Is there anything else, any other tips that you could give to people about looking for a job with recruitment agencies? Any sort of final gems or pearls of wisdom?
Oh, it's only right. Be consistent, be honest, be organised.
Oh, I like those. Is that consistent, honest, organised? I was trying to make a word out of that, but I can't. So, Bronwyn, it's been really lovely having a chat. So for the benefit of my listeners, can you give us your website and how people can actually find you?
Yes, certainly. It's BJM, so that's B for Brown, J for Johnson, M for Murphy, bjmconsulting.com.au.
And thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. And if I might just say a quick hello to Jason Isaacs.
Fantastic.
Bye.
Bye.